the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We certainly know and are quite familiar with the reality that in Scripture, leprosy is symbolic of sin. It doesn't mean leprosy didn't exist, but obviously all disease, natural evil, is due to the original sin of Adam and Eve. So therefore, sickness itself is a consequence of sin. And leprosy then was an outward indication of uncleanness and purity. And that is why there were strict rules about it with regards to one being allowed back into the community, because they would indeed be a danger to the community. We know then that our Lord is also teaching about the sacrament of penance and how we go to the sacrament of penance, asking our Lord to make us clean, and he does so. He does will that we be made clean. And he allows us, if we're truly contrite, to be cleansed from the sickness of sin, just as the leper was cleansed from the outward sickness of leprosy. And we know, too, that it demonstrates confession is necessary, because if a leper declares himself clean and then goes back into the town, he'll be stoned to death. If a Catholic declares himself ritually clean, not going to confession, and then goes to communion in a state of mortal sin, he destroys himself. And so therefore, even though many want to say there's no need for a priest to hear my confession, they are totally wrong. We're totally aware and comfortable with that. So I propose for you another angle to consider. Why is it that our Lord tells the leper not to publicize what happens, the great miracle he works? We perhaps will never know by virtue of the fact that his wisdom is infinite, that he is God. But it's possible that it's an indication of the reality of our Lord warning against vanity. And vanity can be a real danger. Too many people live by it without really knowing it. Too many people think of vanity as just sitting in front of a mirror and contemplating yourself. That's certainly part of it. But there's more to vanity. It's a reality of a kind of self-obsession, where everything is seen in the context of self. For you see, when the Lord works a miracle for someone, there is that great danger that they would see themselves as special, unique. God must love me more than everybody else to work this miracle. Or they enjoy all the attention they get because of the miracle. Certainly we don't see that happening in any accounts in sacred scripture. But it is possible that our Lord is warning of the dangers of vanity that can come from the antics of the devil or our own pride to move us away from grace. Because ultimately what impedes us is the root of all sin, pride. And vanity is one of the seven deadly sins. Consider, for example, how vanity is at work for too many people in the sacrament of holy matrimony. Or too many people dating without that being their end. The reality is most people are engaged in a relationship for vanity's sake. They like the idea of being in a relationship. They like the way it makes them feel about themselves. They like the idea of having another one with them so they don't feel singularized and alone. It has nothing to do with charity, but has a lot to do with vanity. How do you know it's a relationship of vanity? Very simple. If it replaces God, if it becomes more important than God, and I've seen so many young people forfeit God for a person. I've seen so many young people who would normally be on the path straight and true lose everything because suddenly, especially for some reason, boys are so much weaker than they ever used to be. Now I know what it is to be an old man, because back when I was young, boys were a little tougher, but now they're like vain, effeminate, soft creatures that just want some girl to love them. And they're willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of that supposed love. And they often are the first to sacrifice God for that supposed love. That is a prime example of vanity. It's not the girl they love, it's loneliness they hate. Or it's the idea of feeling a belonging to someone else. The woman becomes an object. And it's all about him feeling good about himself when he's with her. And too many women, because the sin of Eve is prevalent in women, women can be far more prideful than men, which is why the devil goes after women in demonic possession first. Too many women like that. Too many women controlling the men, dominating the men, owning the man. And oftentimes when they do end up getting married, it ends in divorce. 80% of all divorces in this country are instigated by the wife. 80%. Because after she has him surrender himself in totality to her, he gets kind of boring after all. Because he's just a needful thing in his vanity running around trying to find emotional support from her. And it goes against her nature to have that, so eventually she tires of it. This is the reality of sin, by the way. Sin never satisfies. That's why the devil has us tempted to it, but it never satisfies, because if it did, the first time we committed the sin, we would never commit it again. That's how the devil is such a liar. Sin never satisfies. It promises it, but it never delivers. And as a result, we constantly pursue it if we lose touch with grace. If we're not contrite and receive cleansing from the leprosy that is sin. So consider the reality how this works in relationships in particular. Especially those who would make a big deal out of today, who have no clue who St. Valentine is. And recognize the reality that that feast is automatically suppressed. And mind you, it's not on the modern calendar at all. So ordinary form Catholics who celebrate St. Valentine's Day, are going against it, because in the ordinary form of the calendar, it's St. Cyril and Methodius. In extraordinary form, it is indeed a commemoration of the priest martyr, St. Valentine. But that's just a good example of how vanity is usually at work in most relationships, especially with young people today. There's such a profound neediness among young people. And that's the ironic thing, too, because in the end, God has created us to be social creatures, to be sure. And he's made us to not like to be in total solitude alone. And those of us who are priests, who are fostering a prayer life, solitude is one of the things we actually look forward to, because it is time to be with the Lord. The intimacy with the Blessed Sacrament goes beyond your comprehension and beyond anything you would claim is satisfying about the conjugal act. And your lack of understanding about that in the general sense as Catholics running around claiming that we priests should be married, you really don't understand the closeness of a priest to the Eucharist, nor should you. But consider how the same is supposed to be at work in the sacrament of holy matrimony, which dating is supposed to be about. No young person should be dating for the sake of dating. And you should be judging the person you're with at all times. Would they be a good husband or wife? Would they be a good mother or father? And not, I'm with her because she makes me laugh. She makes me feel good. She makes me feel whole. That's vanity. That's an example of where Satan is in charge. And typically those kinds of relationships will fall into some degree of sin. Because if your relationship is based on God, where you've put God first, you won't sin. Because the goodness of the person you're with and reaching the greatest good is the most important thing to you. So you won't fall into sin of impurity with them, because you actually care about them, because you see them in the light of God, which means you place God first. But if you've placed her first or him first in the natural order of things, you'll probably end up sinning because God's not there. The relationship has nothing to do with God. In fact, it's divorced from God. And the proof can be seen in the reality of how being in a relationship draws you away from God, or draws you away from the altar. Because that is a true test of a right relationship. If you are getting closer to God by being in that relationship, it is a relationship of God. If you are making the other person your God and worshiping and adoring them and finding all of your meaning and all of your purpose in another person, then it is indeed vanity. Because no person can ever be your Messiah, and therefore you're simply using that other person in your vanity. Vanity is a dangerous sin, because it's part and parcel with the sin of Lucifer himself, and we must be wary of it. So indeed, our Lord certainly was given a lot of trouble by virtue of the leper, reporting what had happened, and our Lord couldn't go into towns anymore because everybody wanted to be cured. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They didn't want to hear his teaching. They simply wanted to be cured. Vanity can be a dangerous thing, to be sure, because it even makes us objectify God and see him as though he is merely there to serve us. Otherwise, he should stay out of the way. When in all reality, we are made to serve him. He created us out of nothing, and we exist solely because of him. And he must come first in everything, even in relationships. And therefore, be wary of vanity. Be wary of the reality of pride being so much at work that you no longer see and do things for God, to please God, with God as the center of your life, but you simply do things to please yourself, to make yourself feel good emotionally, and to ultimately practice self-obsession. We have been given much by virtue of the most blessed sacrament. We have been given much because it is Jesus himself, body, blood, soul, divinity. And we witness a miracle every time we're at the altar, where the bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus Christ. So indeed, we can fall very quickly into vanity if we take for granted that which our Lord is giving us. We must be constantly vigilant and constantly aware of the necessity of humility. And how are we most humble? Not to our neighbor, but to God himself. By acknowledging who he is, our creator, he made us for himself. And therefore our whole lives are to be directed towards him. Especially those of you who are married. Your married life is supposed to be directed at him. Not directed at the world, worldly success, worldly prosperity, worldly ease. But directed at and towards him. Be mindful of yourself, be mindful of the miracle of the altar, and indeed, be mindful of the dangers of vanity, which will make you take him, our God, for granted, and ultimately make him typically not secondary in your life, but most often tertiary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
I believe in one God, the Father of all, maker of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not of me, consubstantial. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate in the Virgin Mary and became a man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered.